it's Angela Stevens. Thank you so much for joining us on the podcast Refocus with Angela Stevens. I can't tell you how delighted I am today with our guest because she has actually been on the podcast before and we were so impressed with her skill sets and some of the opportunities to talk to her about different things that come up in work settings that we asked her to be on this session about business etiquette in the Zoom world and other types of remote work and online meetings. So my guest today is Rhonda Abelera. She is a leadership coach. She specializes not only in coaching women and executive assistants, she's also a life coach. She works with various levels and she has so much experience. She works with people all across the country on the phone or on video or a lot of different ways. So I think you're going to really enjoy this podcast. So thank you, Rhonda, for joining us.
Thanks, Angela. It's great to be here.
Again, awesome. So, you know, the reason, like I had told you before, the reason that I wanted to reach out to you specifically was because I'm sitting one evening watching television and I see this commercial on Progressive Insurance and it's with Flo. And you don't know this, Rhonda, but every Halloween I dress up as Flo and I should put that on there. Anyway, it's a true thing. It's actually people come to our house and ask for Flo. It's kind of funny. But anyway, one of her recent commercials she had was with, I think it's Mara, that they're having a Zoom call and the woman is, or Mara is texting. And I had to laugh because I've had so many conversations with people who have experienced just that scenario. So we want to talk to you about that today. But first of all, does that sound familiar with any of your clients?
Yes. Definitely. Especially with this lockdown. So many people have had to go remote. And to, you know, bring some more issues with that, they're homeschooling their children at the same time. So as you can imagine, that has added a lot of different things to the Zoom call.
Right. Absolutely. So let's just jump right in on that. Let's talk about that. So let's take Zoom, for instance. There's a lot of people now who, for whatever reason, they have decided that, hey, I enjoy, you know, working from home. I've proven I can do it. Or they don't want to go back to the workforce. And so when we talk about business etiquette, it doesn't really change much now with, you know, working Zoom versus working in the office, right? And can you share with us kind of what is appropriate and what's not appropriate in terms of business etiquette and being on those Zoom calls?
Oh, yes. You know, to start with, during that last few months, I've had the opportunity doing a lot of Zoom calls and some people are familiar, you know, they've done these at work and some are not. And it's anywhere from, you know, you're on your call and somebody's, you can hear their voice, but they're trying to find the video button.
Yeah.
And you're trying to talk them through. Now look down on your left. There's a video button, hit that. Mm-hmm. I mean, anywhere from that to, you know, people that are comfortable with it, but I think what I realize is some people really don't have the awareness that we can see what you're doing. And
right.
It's so evident because they show up to the call, not dressed for work, especially if it's work related, not dressed for work, eating their breakfast. The background may show the kitchen, which, you know, is fine. But when there's a lot of dishes in the sink or, you know, anywhere from that. And I think when you're home, when you're doing a work call, you've got to really put on your professionalism and get dressed, comb your hair, you know, all that kind of things that you would normally do when you go to work.
Right. Exactly. And you're sending a message, right? I mean, you're sending a message to your boss or to your clients as well.
Right. And, you know, I realize there's a lot going on. You know, I've had, you know, the dog running through the room, you know, barking, you know, everybody probably has had that, but it's really good to just really think about your call. Do you need to put the dog outside? Do you need to get the kids occupied? And I always like to join the meeting a couple minutes early. That way you can see yourself. You can see what your background looks like. You can see if there's shadows, if the room's too dark, you know, and then familiarize yourself, you know, okay, this is how I mute myself. This is, you know, it's all good to just kind of walk through it a little bit so that you don't look, you know, unprofessional.
Right. Let's break that down. So if you are using Zoom, it is, if you're looking at your computer, it is on the bottom left-hand screen, right? And if anyone's not familiar with Zoom, it's the microphone and the camera, right? That they would click because there's the arrow up buttons, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's pretty intuitive, really. You can even, if you're, are the moderator, if you're the one that initiated the call, you have a lot more control of the screen and you can actually share your screen. And for that, I would advise people to practice that as well. I mean, I've even practiced doing it with my husband downstairs when I've had to share a screen, which is a little more complicated. I've had him go downstairs on his laptop and I even practiced how to share a screen, how to get back. It's pretty clunky sometimes if you're not really familiar with it.
Talk to us about these wonderful backgrounds that people are working with. And I got to tell you a story. I was on a call with a client and my staff had been playing around and we were working with different backgrounds. I had forgotten that mine was on the top of the world. And actually, and that came up, it was, I could have died and I was frazzled myself. I couldn't get it off of there. So talk to us about, like, because I've learned my lesson, but what is appropriate and what is not? Because I know that Zoom will talk about, hey, you can change your background, but, you know, is that appropriate and should that happen?
You know, it really depends on the culture of your company, you mm-hmm. know, and if you already know the folks in your company and, you know, you're pretty familiar with them, then maybe, you know, in a Zoom call at home, you can be a little more casual. Mm-hmm. But if you've just jumped into the Zoom world from a very corporate office, that's not when you want to try all your new little tricks, you know.
Right, right.
You might want to keep it pretty simple until you get the feel of, you know, how these things are going to go.
And it's funny because I'm sure all of our listeners have either experienced this or had this done to them. So, you know, and they're getting very creative where they have corporate backgrounds and green backgrounds. And I think what you would say is, or the green screen, is that really you've got to be prepared before you start any of these meetings, because they could be with not just internal meetings, but these are also meetings with customers and clients.
Yes. And you know, the other really hard thing about having a lot of participants is that sometimes there's a time delay and you end up over talking over each other. Mm. And that's a real annoying thing about these calls. And what I tend to do is when I have more than one participant, say I have six, you know, I'll just say, you know, I'm just going to go around and ask you, you know, the same question. And then I'll, you know, ask the person directly so they know it's their turn to talk. You know, otherwise, if you've just got random participation, you get a lot of dead time mm-hmm. and then you get everybody jumping in at the same time.
Exactly. And to break away just on that for a moment, you know, right before we all went to a virtual setting, we would have conference calls. And one question I did want to ask you, because many are going back to work, some are not. But if you have a conference call, let's say it's not Zoom, but you have a conference call and there's, let's say, seven or eight people. I have noticed this with my businesses as well, but where people will say something and, you know, identify themselves on the call. Yet I've seen people that do not identify themselves when they get on the call. What is, you know, corporately, what is appropriate, what is respectful, and what is expected?
I think you would always identify yourself on the call. But if you're the moderator, you're the one that's hosting the meeting, you really need to be proactive and say, you know, set some guidelines before the meeting starts and saying, before you ask a question, would you please, you know, state your name or what department you're from, or what company you're from? That way it gives clear instructions to everybody.
Right. And there is always sometimes that caller that remains silent. And I think that actually makes certain people feel uncomfortable. I'm not sure why, you know, some do that and some feel that way, but it really sends that message of, you know, that awkwardness. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah. You see that area code. Everybody's asking, who is that? Who is that? You know, and then the person, I guess, doesn't want to really share who that is. And that's really awkward. It's like, why really show up to a call like that unless you have been invited to come and participate?
Exactly. And in our search firm, I always say, look, you know, you're there for a reason. If you were invited, you know, jump in and participate and be proactive and a part of that team. Because if you don't, you're going to be overlooked. You might not be included in certain projects moving forward.
Right. Well, and many times, you know, the host will say, I'll be sending the notes to everybody in your email. And if they don't know who you are, then you're not going to get copied on anything.
Exactly. Exactly. So the other thing too is, you know, we talk about the commercial, but so the texting. So let's talk about the phone for a little bit. So, you know, this is an item that we've put in our children's hands. We've put in our parents' hands, our adult hands, right? And it's a tool. And I, as I was sharing with you before, I've had employees that sometimes will be in a meeting and sometimes I realize they're watching that football game. And, you know, first of all, how, you know, let's talk to the people who are doing that, number one. And then also let's talk to the companies that are running those meetings of how to handle that, because you never want to single one person out, but it is distracting.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it goes back to respect. You know, if that same person is texting over a Zoom call, they probably are texting while you're having lunch with them. Mm-hmm. And you bring the same etiquette from the business world, from in person to the Zoom call or to the Zoom meeting. And again, you know, I think that host should be responsible to lay out how this meeting is going to go, you know, and you know, you could even say, I would appreciate if everyone just puts their phones on silence and, you know, clicks the video so we know who you are. You know, I think you can set those boundaries and those requests.
Exactly. You know, just a few other items, you know, you mentioned eating lunch or eating their breakfast. I'm going to take that's a granted. That's probably not okay. I'll take that one. Right. But the other one I wanted to ask you about was, what about people who are multitasking during these meetings? You know, how does that come across? Is that okay to do?
You know, This is a funny word. Everybody wants to put it on the resume, but I always tell my clients, there's really no such thing as multitasking very successfully, because you're dividing your brain up into many different parts. And if you are, you know, supposed to be focusing on a call and what people are saying, you're not doing that if you're reading something else or checking your email or something like that.
Right.
And you know, I just think it's kind of disrespectful to be intently sharing some information to the people on your call and to look up and see somebody totally disengaged with what you're saying. And it's hard on a Zoom call. You know, I think you have to even be more intentional in paying attention.
Absolutely. And what about, you know, we've had a lot of the, you know, where you can share, you know, Zoom is really great. You can share documents as you're chatting, right? And you can send, right. And which is really interesting. Those are great. I've had a couple of people ask the question, because we did a poll on this topic before we started. You know, what about those? Do they stay on that Zoom call or do they go to the person or where do those go? Do you know?
The documents?
Yes. Like that. You, like if you share a document and you're on a Zoom call and then let's say that the meeting ends, should they have downloaded those beforehand? Or because that was a question that was posed to us right before. And I actually wondered about that myself. So, and you may or may not know that answer.
You know, I haven't really used that feature, but I would imagine that you should definitely download those things, because I think when the call goes away, you know, the documents or anything associated with the call.
I believe so. If you're not the host, most definitely. Right. And yeah, it was interesting. We had one, a junior person that was on our call who used there's a raise hand symbol on the Zoom call.
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh. And which is great, unless they're doing it multiple times and, you know, they were joking. But again, you know, I think you go back to the same feeling of this is our new life, right? We were thrown into this, but this should be viewed as if you have never left your position in your company.
Mm-hmm. You know, the other thing that I've been finding with some clients is they work remotely anyway, and it's a real struggle to keep that personal connection with coworkers and your boss. Mm-hmm. And so in that Zoom call, you've got to really make that call count, because mm-hmm. that's your only personal interaction with that person.
Right. Exactly. There's so many things. I don't want to go away from this topic, but I did want to ask you, you know, you are a life coach. We've heard that term over and over. A lot of people have, you know, heard that in the past. When do people need a life coach, and what can a life coach do for people, especially now? Because I would think that there is a large market of people that could really use the help right now.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I'm maybe a little biased. I think everybody needs a life coach at least one time in their life. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you why. A lot of times we have dreams or aspirations or things that we really need to change in our life. And we actually know what they are, but we don't know how to get there. And what a leadership or a life coach can do is come along beside you and help you step by step. And accountability is the huge issue there. It's somebody always in your face asking you, okay, did you do that? Okay, why not? Why didn't you do that? You know, and if you know that you're going to talk to your coach this week, you're going to scramble around and try to finish what you were supposed to do for the call. Mm-hmm. There's just something really powerful about it. Outside in, somebody looking at your life and objectively and being able to see things that you don't see, or they may see ways that you're getting stuck and you don't even know you're stuck.
Right. Right. And what happens when you, let's say you have a life coach, but it's just not clicking. Let's say, you know, there may be a personality conflict. You're not meshing with that coach. What, you know, talking about business etiquette, what's the appropriate way to move on or end that relationship, because that can work both ways too. But if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. And so what is your advice on that?
Honesty. You know, hopefully you are being honest with your coach, and hopefully your coach is speaking honestly to you. And, you know, I wouldn't want to continue to coach somebody that is not honest with me and not telling me what's really going on, you know. And I would much more appreciate somebody coming to me and saying, you know, I just think this isn't working. I'm not moving. I'm not going any direction. Because like you said, sometimes it could be a personality thing or just the connection's not there.
Right. And what I find is individuals and professionals that are looking for a life coach, they want the help. They really do. They want that. They, you know, they're paying for it. They want that help. And I think that's important. However, I've seen the other side where, let's say, you know, a supervisor says, I think, you know, you need a life coach or some coaching, and signs them up for it. Tell us, have you had those experiences where you've had somebody that's been resistant to that? Because they can almost take it as a negative, which, you know, I want to say at this point that if you get the opportunity, I don't care what your situation is, to get a coach from your company, it costs money to do that. And so that's what they're saying, is they're saying they believe in you, but you know, there's got to be people that are resistant. Have you run into that?
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, that's one of the first things I ask is your boss signed you up for this. Are you agreeable to this? Do you want to do this? And most of the time, once I explain kind of what my role is, you know, you're not in trouble. I want you to enjoy this. I want you to look forward to our meetings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you have any success stories about that? Like, you know, any examples of, you know, somebody that you've worked with where you've seen progress? Because I think a lot of our listeners, they hear about people getting coaching or they get signed up for coaching, but we never hear behind the scenes of, you know, what does that progress look like? You know, if you have somebody that starts it, is it a 6 month or a year, 2 years? And then what do they look like coming out of the program? Because that's one thing I meant to talk to you about, because I think a lot of people, they don't talk about it. They move on, they progress, but the rest of the world kind of doesn't hear that side.
Oh, I've got a great story about that. So I coached this one gal, and it's a year long coaching. It's what we do is every other week, two times a month. And I coached this one gal. She was a new executive assistant for this CEO of a very large company. And she was very familiar with the company because she came from another department, but she had never been an executive assistant before. And, you know, I would say the majority of our conversations were, how do I get along with my boss? How do I communicate with my boss? And I always know when somebody's going to be successful, when about midway, they seem to click in and then they go gangbusters. And now this gal, she coaches others and trains others.
Wow.
She's so absorbed. And it's really giving people permission to own it and to think out of the box and understand what their role is. And once that clicks in, I've had several of them, they go on to bigger and better things. Other positions, they get promoted. I have a couple stories like that. And you know what, for me, that's such a win because it's such a joy to watch that.
Yes, absolutely. And that's really great because we do, like I said, we don't hear the other side, but we're hoping, you know, of course, that CEO or that supervisor gets to see what, you know, the positive outcome, because you're right. It will click, right? A lot of this will click. And, you know, our company has worked with Rhonda in the past. And one thing that I admire so much about her style is that she, and as many coaches do, but she really focuses on the whole person, not just the skill set. You know, if there's an issue, she gives the person that's getting the coaching the opportunity to learn even more about themselves. Did I phrase that right?
Yes, that's perfect. You know, I always tell clients, you know, you bring yourself to work every day. And if there's some issues and pieces in the puzzle that are, you know, disrupting your work life, most likely, you know, it could be something coming from home or, you know, there's just a lot of things, so many topics on confidence and, you know, respect and communication. And it's amazing the things you can kind of dive into, and sometimes one of those things will just click in, like I was saying, and it changes, you know, it changes their work environment.
Right. And from our experience, you know, we see a difference and we see that it impacts the person, you know, as a whole person down the road. So I, you know, personal reference on that part, I wanted to throw that in. Going back to the remote situation, I know with our search firm, I wrote an article on how you should approach your boss if you want to stay at home and if you want to continue working remotely. That may not be possible, or it may be. However, I've heard different ways of people that have approached their boss on how to do this. And so it would be great if you could share with us how someone really should go about that if they choose to do that.
I would say that you're not going to be successful in that request unless you really have a lot of trust with your boss, because on the downside, you know, it could cause your boss to worry about, well, what are you really doing at home? Are you putting the time in? Mm-hmm. So you want to make sure that you have a really great communication with your boss. You're talking the same language, you're on the same page, and you're able to produce results. If you have that going for you, then you can sit down with your boss and talk about all the wins of you working from home, you know, and you know, promising to keep the same level of work going and the same level of attention, but you might want to add the benefits of even working more hours and being more focused, and you know, but I think that's what it takes for that to happen successfully.
Absolutely. And the one question I did want to pose to you, right? I literally saw this question right before we started this podcast. There was, you know, our company is Refocus the Creative Office, and we have calendars and academic calendars and matching to-do lists and things like that. But a to-do list is a big deal for us. And someone said out there, they said, can somebody please tell me how to get through my to-do list? And I thought that was so, it was funny because there's so many different answers, right? But I think for her, I would love to ask you that question too, you know, especially now working remotely, how did they, you know, you might get a great to-do list and you have it all filled out, But for her, she wanted to know, how do I actually get through this?
You know, I like to work in blocks of time and or manage my day in blocks. Like on my to-do list, I'll put all my calls together in 1 hour and I'll just boom, 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 go through all the calls that I need to make. And then, you know, or maybe, you know, block this time for things I need to be creative about and write. And so if you just have a random to-do list that has just different kinds of activities in there, you may not be maximizing your time. And right. if you can organize your to-do list under subjects or topics or, you know, in different chunks of the day, you'll get more bang for your buck. At least that's how I like to work.
Right. Now, I would agree with you. You know, what works for me personally is, you know, if I don't have my to-do list filled out the night before, I'm off my game the next day because I'm being pulled different directions, you know, from different people. So I have to know what I'm doing before I even start my day. And that seems to work really well with me. But I had to laugh because some of the answers that this woman was getting was not actually answers that were really good answers. So I'm glad that we brought that up. You mentioned earlier, you said, people, you know, getting up, getting dressed, right? And I've right. noticed that a lot of, I don't want to say more men, I'm not going to say that, but a lot of people, you know, they get up, they, you know, put on their shorts and they just go right into work. And I guess it depends on the role, but does that work for people?
You know, it seems to work for some. However, you know, during this quarantine time, I literally still got up at the same time and got dressed and worked out and did my routines. I'm a person of schedules and routines, and I get more accomplished in the day if I mm-hmm. can really stick to those. And right. there's something about sitting down, even in a home office, sitting down fully dressed, ready to face the day. You just feel more professional. You feel like, and you're more focused.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You and I are right on like that, but I know not everyone is, and many people don't do that, are successful. So, you know, we never want to say, you know, you have to do it this way. I just, you know, those are some ideas. And one gentleman that wrote into us during this, he's, you know, when we put a poll out, he said that he was on the West Coast or no, excuse me. He was living in New York and he was used to going into a corporate office. And now here he is, quarantine. He lives by himself and he's in this really tiny space that he lives in. And he said, I get up, my bed's in the same room, my kitchen's there because it's in a studio. And my heart just broke for him. But I sat there and I thought, you know, that has to be really impacting a lot of people because there's something about that. And let's take that person, for example. What can he do? Because yes, we can say he can take breaks, but when you are, especially a studio apartment, you're there. You got any, cause I think your mindset is, it's really important to kind of keep yourself in check. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, if you can, it's really helpful to take a walk. Mm-hmm. You know, I happen to live in a very beautiful place and I can go down to the river and take a walk. I can look at the mountains. I understand that everybody has that, but sometimes, especially if I'm stuck on a project or something, just getting out of my seat and going outside and taking a walk, it kind of refreshes you, you know.
Right.
Listening to music is another thing that I do. It's good for your soul. It really is.
It does. And remind everyone, because they're going, okay, where's she at? She's got the river. And where are you based out of?
Bend, Oregon. Don't be a hater. I live in Bend, Oregon, Central Oregon. And what can I say?
It's beautiful. People don't, I mean, the places like Oregon and Utah, some of the, they're majestic. And a lot of people don't know that, but yeah, so I think that's a really good thing. I was telling someone the other day that, you know, when everything was shut down and closed just to get out, I literally would go to CBS and a Walgreens. It was like going to the mall for me, which was not healthy because I came out with like a $150 bill. But you know, it took me out for a moment and brought me back to, you know, doing what I needed to do. And there's just something about clearing your head with
that? Well, it's the little things, right? I remember when we were in lockdown and I got to go to the grocery store. That was actually exciting.
Yeah.
So
it depends. Yeah, right. And the other thing is, you know, I've really encouraged people to take this time and do something new, like learn a new skill, learn something. And, you know, I wanted to touch on this because I know you work with a lot of different types of individuals. And if there's one area that somebody could really learn on, is it Excel? Is it Word? Is it Adobe? Is it, you know, what are the hot areas that companies are really wanting people to know these programs? Is there any that are stronger than another?
Well, I think it depends on your company. I think Excel is something that's a never-ending learning cycle. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It can go as far as you want to go. And that seems to be a universal tool with a lot of people.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Excel is not my friend. We try to be friends and we're working on our relationship. So
oh, I get that.
But the, one of the applications I think that's been really helpful with our group has been learning to use Trello, and that's Trello. Don't know much about them myself, but some of the people that I've been working with have really been teaching us as a group, and that's been really good in terms of project management. So I think that's really important as well. So during this time, Rhonda, so you got to tell us, all right, so what have you been doing for fun? What have you been like, even hiking, even what have you been doing for yourself personally?
Okay, well, I really challenged myself the last few months, and a couple things. I started golfing with my husband. I haven't golfed in a long time. I'm not good, but I love driving the cart and being in the beautiful scenery and sunshine. Mm-hmm. We've been hiking.
Yeah.
And I've been starting my book. That's one thing that I've just really... I wanted to look back in this quarantine time and say, what did I do? What came out of that? And I can say that's what came out of it.
Right. So that's a great idea. Any ideas on what, when your book's coming out and what it's about, or, and I know you can't share a lot with us, but what spurred you to do that?
Oh, just, it's just life's, you know, my story of my life, the things that have happened and transpired. I'm hoping it's inspirational and encouraging to people. And I don't know, maybe it'll come out this year.
Awesome.
I'm working on it.
Yeah, no, well, keep going. And anytime you need encouragement, you just send me a text and I'll be on you. I'll coach you. How about that? And then I'll send you my invoice.
Hey, so I'll sign up for that.
Anyway, so I know, like I said, I know we did this last time, but I'm going to ask you again because music changes and we learn music. Any great music you've started listening to or really enjoying lately?
You know, there was so much music on the internet during this time, and so many wonderful musicians were giving live streams. And I started really listening to The Blessing by Carrie Job. It's just encouraging, just flat encouraging. And it's been translated all over the world in a lot of languages. And what I love about it is just such a universal global thing. I think anybody that listened to that would really be encouraged.
The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you.
That's awesome. Hey, last question. So let's say you've got, you're working with a senior level group of people in that CEO, COO level. A lot of them are all of a sudden thrown into these jobs, not thrown into them, they've earned them, but where they're having to make pitches and make, speaking to large groups and going to board meetings and that kind of thing. You know, not everyone's great at that, of course, right? And they, I know there's coaching for that. But however, if somebody is in that position and they are frazzled, any advice on how they can really focus and pull that together? Because it's tough, especially if you have any kind of stage fright. Any advice for those people?
You know, it's really important to be prepared and then to take some moments before you have to do your presentation and just make sure you've got everything together, your notes, make sure, you know, your assistant has, you know, helping you with anything that you need help with, and then just breathe, you know, just take some time to settle the nerves and just, you know, breathe, because really it's just people you're talking to. And
right. Exactly. They're just like us, right?
They're just like us.
Exactly. So listen, I every time I talk to you, I learn so much more, and I'm not sure if I'm being billed for this session. I'm joking about that. But anyway, but tell us if somebody's interested in you and they want to either sign up individually for coaching, or they want to talk to their boss, or maybe their supervisor can contact you. What's the best way that they can find out about you and how they can reach you?
You can always reach me at my email at rhonda@coachwell.com.
Okay. And that's R-H-O-N-D-A at coachwell, C-O-A-C-H-W-E-L-L.com, correct?
Yes. Or you can go to our website, www.coachwell.com.
Okay. Perfect. And we will also put that on our show notes where someone can find out more about you, and we'll put your bio on there. So we'll reference this episode. But Rhonda, listen, I can't wait to, you know, have a great idea to call you again and do this. You're a pro at this. We really appreciate your time. And thank you again, graciously, from all of us at this at Refocus. Thank you for taking the time to be with us.
Thanks so much, Angela. It's been fun.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Refocus the Creative Office. All of their products are created through the eyes of a child with ADHD. They create products that help you focus and refocus. They have 9 different versions of password books, even a left-handed password book, academic calendars and annual calendars that pop with color, with to-do lists and appointment lists between each month. In addition, they have matching legal pads and magnet pads. If you forget to take your medication, vitamins, or your supplements, they also have a full line of encouraging pill boxes to check out. You can find all their products at www.time2refocus.com or on Amazon, Walmart, eBay, and more.